English Listening Comprehension Test, Autumn 2002, Advanced Level. This test is in four parts. In parts 1, 2, and 3, you will answer the questions asked in the booklet by choosing the correct alternative answer, according to what you've heard. Mark each answer on the answer sheet. The test is about to begin. Listen to the first part straight through.
This is a radio story told by a famous storyteller, Garrison Keillor.
You know what it's like coming back to the hometown from college. Well, Kate came back to Lake Wobegon one fine day in May. Right away, her parents asked her what she'd been studying. Marilyn Monroe, a postmodernist perspective. All right, what do we know? A good phrase for the parents of a college girl. What do we know? We're only parents. And a course on the 60s? What do you do in a course on the 60s? What? You watch videos and you listen to CDs? Well, doesn't the instructor lecture? No, he doesn't. He doesn't want to get between us and the original source material. $26,000 a year seems a little steep just to borrow videos and old CDs. But what do we know, huh? We're parents, large decorative parents. Put us in the garage if we're taking up too much space. Kate looked good. She'd put on a little bit of weight. Her hair was cut very short. And as they were talking in the kitchen, her mother thought she noticed something in her mouth, something glittering or something. Finally, she said, "Is something wrong with your tongue?" And Kate stuck out her tongue, not in a nice way. And there was this glassy sort of a diamond thing, a sort of a stud in it. Okay, fine, whatever. What do we know? She went to bed. She slept for 18 hours. It was interesting for her to come back to town. She felt like it had been 10 years. She loves college. She hasn't been homesick one little bit. Interesting to walk around your old town on a Monday afternoon and see what's going on. See kids on skateboards going down the sidewalks in Main Street. Here's a big sign in the McIntosh's front yard. It's a girl. Welcome, Gabriella. Gabriella McIntosh. 18 years, and she'll probably want to get out of here, too. Interesting to see all of these people that she used to know so well, and then she has not thought about for a while. She went to graduation to see her old friends. Graduation was Friday night. It was at the football field, as always. She had only been away 1 year. Never had it look so strange. The boys all looked like nerds. The girls were wearing this weird makeup, silver or blue or pink eyeshadow, and sort of bright metallic-colored blouses and dresses under their gowns, and their hair. It was way overdone. It made them look 45 or 50 years old. On the football field, and the band was assembled there alongside the stage. And the stage looked like a rainforest, and the skirt around the stage was made of black plastic garbage bags. And the superintendent, Mr. Howerson, was checking behind them, lifting up each one, looking under the stage, paranoid, as he has every right to be, because every year, for as long as anybody can remember, the senior boys have pulled some tremendous practical joke on him. So every time he goes to graduation, he has a fairly good idea that at some point, when he least expects it, something's going to blow up. The band started playing too fast, and then it turned into a slow, dragging march. You sort of waited for them to bring in the body of the deceased. It took forever to get all 77 graduates into the folding chairs on the field. Kate felt as if she were in a dream. And then she recognized her old classmate, John Detweiler, who was waiting for his girlfriend Susan to come and graduate. And they're planning to get married. John, who went to school with Kate and was in love with her ever since they did the Civil War reenactment back in the 7th grade. And they spent the night together in a tent, and they sat up all night talking. He was in love with her. And in 9th grade, for Valentine's Day, he sent her a card that said, "Do you like me?" with two boxes, yes or no. She checked yes. and a couple of weeks after that they were at a dance, and he tried to kiss her, and she pushed him away. She said, "What do you think I am?" And he never tried again, hardly ever spoke to her after that. Then he discovered Susan, who was a babe. The speaker concluded with some kind of poem. No one could tell what it was about. And then it was time for the seniors to parade across the stage and one by one receive their diplomas from Mr. Halverson, who each time he reached towards the table for a rolled diploma, handled it as if it might be a live bomb. He passed out all 77 diplomas. All 77 went across the stage and sat down. And in great relief, he turned to go back to his seat. Mr. Halverson, with an immense sign stuck to his rear end which said, "Butthead," in all capital letters.
Now listen to the same story in 8 sections. Look at questions 1 and 2.
This is a radio story told by a famous storyteller, Garrison Keillor.
You know what it's like coming back to the hometown from college. Well, Kate came back to Lake Wobegon one fine day in May. Right away, her parents asked her what she had been studying. "Marilyn Monroe, a postmodernist perspective." "All right, what do we know?" A good phrase for the parents of a college girl. "What do we know? We're only parents." "And a course on the 60s? "What do you do in a course on the 60s? "What? You watch videos and you listen to CDs? "Well, doesn't the instructor lecture?" "No, he doesn't. He doesn't want to get between us and the original source material. $26,000 a year seems a little steep just to borrow videos and old CDs. But what do we know, huh? We're parents, large decorative parents. Put us in the garage if we're taking up too much space."
Answer questions 1 and 2. Look at questions 3 and 4.
Kate looked good. She'd put on a little bit of weight. Her hair was cut very short. And as they were talking in the kitchen, her mother thought she noticed something in her mouth, something glittering or something. Finally, she said, "Is something wrong with your tongue?" And Kate stuck out her tongue, not in a nice way. And there was this glassy sort of a diamond thing, a sort of a stud in it. "Okay, fine, whatever. What do we know?" She went to bed. She slept for 18 hours.
Answer questions 3 and 4. Then look at questions 5 and 6.
It was interesting for her to come back to town. She felt like it had been 10 years. She loves college. She hasn't been homesick one little bit. Interesting to walk around your old town on a Monday afternoon and see what's going on. See kids on skateboards going down the sidewalks in Main Street. Here's a big sign in the McIntosh's front yard. It's a girl. Welcome, Gabriella. Gabriella McIntosh. 18 years, and she'll probably want to get out of here, too.
Answer questions 5 and 6. Look at questions 7 and 8.
Interesting to see all of these people that she used to know so well and then she has not thought about for a while. She went to graduation to see her old friends. Graduation was Friday night. It was at the football field as always. She had only been away 1 year. Never had it look so strange. The boys all looked like nerds. The girls were wearing this weird makeup, silver or blue or pink eyeshadow, and sort of bright, metallic-colored blouses and dresses under their gowns, and their hair. It was way overdone. It made them look 45 or 50 years old.
Answer questions 7 and 8, then look at questions 9 and 10.
On the football field, and the band was assembled there alongside the stage. And the stage looked like a rainforest, and the skirt around the stage was made of black plastic garbage bags. And the superintendent, Mr. Howerson, was checking behind them, lifting up each one, looking under the stage, paranoid, as he has every right to be, because every year, for as long as anybody can remember, the senior boys have pulled some tremendous practical joke on him, so every time he goes to graduation, he has a fairly good idea that at some point, when he least expects it, something's going to blow up.
Answer questions 9 and 10. Look at questions 11 and 12.
The band started playing too fast, and then it turned into a slow, dragging march. You sort of waited for them to bring in the body of the deceased. It took forever to get all 77 graduates into the folding chairs on the field. Kate felt as if she were in a dream. And then she recognized her old classmate, John Detweiler, who was waiting for his girlfriend Susan to come and graduate. And they're planning to get married. John, who went to school with Kate and was in love with her, ever since they did the Civil War reenactment back in the 7th grade. And they spent the night together in a tent, and they sat up all night talking. He was in love with her.
Answer questions 11 and 12, then look at questions 13 and 14.
And in 9th grade, for Valentine's Day, he sent her a card that said, "Do you like me?" with 2 boxes, yes or no. She checked yes. And a couple of weeks after that, they were at a dance, and he tried to kiss her, and she pushed him away. She said, "What do you think I am?" And he never tried again, hardly ever spoke to her after that. Then he discovered Susan, who was a babe.
Answer questions 13 and 14. Look at question 15.
The speaker concluded with some kind of poem. No one could tell what it was about. And then it was time for the seniors to parade across the stage and one by one receive their diplomas from Mr. Halverson, who each time he reached towards the table for a rolled diploma, handled it as if it might be a live bomb. He passed out all 77 diplomas. All 77 went across the stage and sat down. And in great relief, he turned to go back to his seat, Mr. Halverson, with an immense sign stuck to his rear end which said, "Butthead," in all capital letters.
Answer question 15. This is the second part of the test. In this part, you will hear 8 short dialogues. Each one involves a different situation with different speakers. You will hear each of them once only. Look at question 16.
Are you already heading back to the kitchen?
Sure. Can't stay away. That apple pie is to die for.
Well, make sure you leave some for me.
I will, if I can.
Answer question 16. Look at question 17.
Our group has to pull together on this project. Everyone's got to pull his weight.
Yes, but what do you think about John? He's as fit as can be, but there's something.
Yes, I know. But, well, if I have to talk about it, he's not in the best form right now.
That's right. And just last week, he was a completely different person.
Answer question 17, then look at question 18.
I don't know who Ralph is, and I don't need to know.
Come on, he's a terrific type. You'll get along fabulously.
Look, the last blind date you set me up on was a complete disaster. I'm not going to go through with this. No way, Jose.
Oh, come on. You'll have a great time.
Answer question 18. Look at question 19.
You've got to help me, Liz. I'm desperate. If I don't get this paperwork done by Tuesday, I'll be fired.
Why didn't you get started earlier?
I was only given the assignment yesterday. And it's a straightforward account after all, but it'll take some time to formulate the right approach.
All right. Just this one time. But you owe me one.
Answer question 19. Then look at question 20.
We've got to have this paper ready next Wednesday.
I know, but the history of the Spanish-American War has never been my strong point.
Well, we've got to get it off the ground somehow.
I know, but I don't feel like it.
Answer question 20. Look at question 21.
You're not only terrifically good-looking, you're also brilliant.
Do I intimidate you?
No, not at all. I respect your achievements. Can we go out sometime?
Oh, you're just saying that because I'm the departmental head.
No, not at all. That has nothing to do with it. I really want to take you out.
Answer question 21, then look at question 22.
What's the worst thing that can happen? Your cable TV goes crazy and you're stuck with two channels of TV shopping?
Or you bite into a hamburger and after your first bite, you see a used Band-Aid.
You got me. Ugh, that stinks.
Answer question 22, then look at question 23.
Did you hear that John just bought a new boat? A bigger one?
No. Well, I'm not surprised. That's just so typical.
I'll say. People today want to have everything, all the time.
But you can't have everything. Where would you put it?
Answer question 23. This is the third part of the test. You will hear this part twice. Listen to this part straight through.
Hello, this is Terry Gross of Public Broadcasting International with Fresh Air. Today I'm talking to Linus Torvalds, one of the software pioneers, a hero of the open source movement, programmers who believe that the basic code of software should be free so that others can modify and improve it. Torvalds grew up in Finland and developed the first version of Linux in the early 90s while a student at the University of Helsinki. He's published a new memoir, Just for Fun, The Story of an Accidental Revolutionary. Why did you choose not to copyright Linux and just give it away?
Well, to clarify one issue, it's actually copyrighted as a general public license. But for the whole, the idea behind the license is that a lot of programs are useful to a lot of people, and you don't want to take away the rights of people to improve those programs and distribute those improvements to other people.
So, in other words, I could take your operating system and make my improvements to it. And I could circulate my improvements on the internet, but I couldn't sell it.
Oh, no, you could even sell it. You sell it as your own version of Linux. And that's perfectly legal, and a lot of people are doing that. What the copyright license says is that when you distribute it, however you choose to do that, you have to give everybody else the same rights to that derived work. So now somebody else can take your improved version and improve it further and sell the improved version.
Mm-hmm. When you actually decided to give Linux away, did you ever feel bad, like you were missing your big opportunity to actually get some money?
I didn't. And the thing is, I never really decided I don't want to sell this. It was not a, some people make it sound and you made it sound, like I did this for some higher ideals. But what made me not sell it was that I was not interested in the selling process or the stuff you have to do around the selling process. It wasn't that I was some saint trying to improve the world. It was because I was a selfish guy that I knew what I wanted to do.
Linus, thank you for being with us today.
Now listen to the same discussion in four sections. Look at questions 24 and 25.
Hello, this is Terry Gross of Public Broadcasting International with Fresh Air. Today I'm talking to Linus Torvalds, one of the software pioneers, a hero of the open source movement, programmers who believe that the basic code of software should be free so that others can modify and improve it. Torvalds grew up in Finland and developed the first version of Linux in the early 90s while a student at the University of Helsinki. He's published a new memoir, Just for Fun, The Story of an Accidental Revolutionary.
Answer questions 24 and 25. Look at questions 26 and 27.
why did you choose not to copyright Linux and just give it away?
Well, to clarify one issue, it's actually copyrighted as a general public license. But for the whole, the idea behind the license is that a lot of programs are useful to a lot of people, and you don't want to take away the rights of people to improve those programs and distribute those improvements to other people.
So, in other words, I could take your operating system and make my improvements to it. And I could circulate my improvements on the internet, but I couldn't sell it.
Oh, no, you could even sell it. You sell it as your own version of Linux. And that's perfectly legal, and a lot of people are doing that.
Answer questions 26 and 27. Look at question 28.
What the copyright license says is that when you distribute it, however you choose to do that, you have to give everybody else the same rights to that derived work. So now somebody else can take your improved version and improve it further and sell the improved version.
Answer question 28. Look at questions 29 and 30.
Mm-hmm. When you actually decided to give Linux away, did you ever feel bad, like you were missing your big opportunity to actually get some money?
I didn't. And the thing is, I never really decided I don't want to sell this. It was not a, some people make it sound and you made it sound, like I did this for some higher ideals. But what made me not sell it was that I was not interested in the selling process or the stuff you have to do around the selling process. It wasn't that I was some saint trying to improve the world. It was because I was a selfish guy that I knew what I wanted to do.
Linus, thank you for being with us today.
Answer questions 29 and 30. This is the fourth part of the test. There are five sections. Each section is a separate story. You will hear each section twice, and then you will have time to answer that section. Then you will go on to the next section. You will write in Finnish or Swedish. You must write your answers on the special answer sheet. Question A. Listen to the first section.
An apple a day isn't quite enough to keep the doctor away. What you need is two apples per day, or better still, a glass and a half of apple juice. Scientists at the University of California have discovered that chemicals in the fruit lower the risk of heart disease by slowing down the increase of cholesterol in the body. Volunteers in clinical trials drank 12 ounces of pure apple juice every day. After 6 weeks, their cholesterol was breaking down 20% faster.
Now listen to this section again, and then answer question A.
An apple a day isn't quite enough to keep the doctor away. What you need is two apples per day, or better still, a glass and a half of apple juice. Scientists at the University of California have discovered that chemicals in the fruit lower the risk of heart disease by slowing down the increase of cholesterol in the body. Volunteers in clinical trials drank 12 ounces of pure apple juice every day. After 6 weeks, their cholesterol was breaking down 20% faster.
Question B. Listen to the next section.
Naughty pupils hiding themselves at the back of the class could become a thing of the past, thanks to the introduction of classrooms shaped like triangles. The pioneering design, which forces most children to the front and leaves just one seat in the back, was first introduced at Cam House Special School in Gloucestershire. It proved so successful in improving the behaviour of uncontrollable pupils that triangular classrooms could soon be adopted by schools around the country.
Now listen to this section again, and then answer question B.
Naughty pupils hiding themselves at the back of the class could become a thing of the past, thanks to the introduction of classrooms shaped like triangles. The pioneering design, which forces most children to the front and leaves just one seat in the back, was first introduced at Cam House Special School in Gloucestershire. It proved so successful in improving the behaviour of uncontrollable pupils that triangular classrooms could soon be adopted by schools around the country.
Question C. Listen to the next section.
An Australian man married his TV set in a special ceremony in his living room. Twice divorced Mitch Hallin, age 42, invited 12 friends to the wedding, which was performed by a licensed minister. Hallin placed a wedding ring on top of the box and pledged to love, honour and obey until death do us part. My television is the only companion I'll ever need, he said. It has given me countless hours of pleasure without any fuss, fighting, or backchat.
Now listen to this section again and then answer question C.
An Australian man married his TV set in a special ceremony in his living room. Twice divorced Mitch Hallin, age 42, invited 12 friends to the wedding, which was performed by a licensed minister. Hallin placed a wedding ring on top of the box and pledged to love, honour and obey until death do us part. My television is the only companion I'll ever need, he said. It has given me countless hours of pleasure without any fuss, fighting, or backchat.
Question D. Listen to the next section.
The Pope is planning to name Saint Isidore of Seville as the patron saint of computers and the Internet. A spokesman for the Vatican has confirmed that the matter is under active consideration after the Pope, himself an Internet fan, received hundreds of emails in support of the idea. In the 7th century, Saint Isidore produced one of the world's first databases in the form of a 20-volume encyclopedia called the Etymologies.
Now listen to this section again, and then answer question D.
The Pope is planning to name Saint Isidore of Seville as the patron saint of computers and the Internet. A spokesman for the Vatican has confirmed that the matter is under active consideration after the Pope, himself an Internet fan, received hundreds of emails in support of the idea. In the 7th century, Saint Isidore produced one of the world's first databases in the form of a 20-volume encyclopedia called the Etymologies.
Question E. Listen to the next section.
A teddy bear stolen during a raid on a house in Somerset has been returned to its owner by remorseful thieves. James McPherson appealed in a local paper for the return of the 50-year-old bear, which was given to him on the day he was born. Days later, the bear, named Carden, was returned with a note of apology. "It was like being reunited with an old friend," said McPherson. "It looks to me as if he's lost weight from the worry of being kidnapped. Other than that, he's in good shape."
Now listen to this section again, and then answer question E.
A teddy bear stolen during a raid on a house in Somerset has been returned to its owner by remorseful thieves. James McPherson appealed in a local paper for the return of the 50-year-old bear, which was given to him on the day he was born. Days later, the bear, named Carden, was returned with a note of apology. "It was like being reunited with an old friend," said McPherson. "It looks to me as if he's lost weight from the worry of being kidnapped. Other than that, he's in good shape."
This is the end of the test. You will now have about 8 minutes in which to blacken with a pencil the ovals indicating your answers and to check the written answers. Remember to make sure you have written the following information on your answer sheet: your name and number, and the name and number of your school. Also make sure that the information needed for the exam has been carefully marked in. Thank you.